You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
An exercise in power sharing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama will announce almost $3.5 billion in stimulus grants today, the money going to upgrade what the White House calls the smart electric grid. Renewable energy advocate Harvey Wasserman is a senior advisor to Greenpeace, and he's here to tell us more about this power grid upgrade. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What is a smart grid?
Well, smart grid is a method of distributing electricity a little more efficiently with more information given. It will encourage people to use appliances and so on when the rates are lower and the demand is lower.
What are we going to learn from these projects?
I think we're going to learn a lot more about how homes really use electricity. With $3.5 billion, we're going to get a pretty good sampling. The bottom line is that we actually don't know that much about how homes can really be made more efficient and where we can make our best strides forward to make homes, offices, and factories self-sufficient.
Almost $3.5 billion. When do you think we'll recover that cost in savings?
Well, that's going to be a big part of the experiment, is to see what kind of cost recovery we get from a smart grid. Overall, we're going to learn a pretty good deal about what energy generation on a local level is going to be like. I see the smart grid really as kind of an experiment on the way to a Solartopian solution to energy economy, which is, you know, going to have to be based on green sources, which it's not now.
Harvey Wasserman, senior advisor to Greenpeace, author of Solartopia. Thank you.
Thank you.
British Petroleum reports this morning earnings dropped by a third last quarter compared to the year before as the recession hit fuel demand and oil prices. Still, BP did manage to make $5.3 billion. And those BP earnings topped expectations, and European stock markets have rallied. They're up more than 0.5% now. Asian stocks were off sharply earlier today. Yesterday, the Dow lost just over 100 points, putting it all the way back to 9,867. Continental and United Airlines were talking merger last year before those talks broke down. But today, the two airlines get a little cozier. Continental is leaving the SkyTeam partnership and joining the Star Alliance, which is headed by United. Now, you probably think of these alliances as mile-sharing clubs. But Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite reports there is more to them than that.
Switching from one airline team to another is quite a process, but Continental says it's worth it. The change is expected to bring the airline an extra $100 million a year. Continental will team up with airlines like United and Lufthansa on routes all over the world. Airline analyst Daryl Jenkins says joining Star Alliance could lead to a merger with United in the future.
An alliance like this gives your employees a good chance to know the employees of the other one, see how close their cultures fit. Think of it as dating in the romance game of airlines.
He says, after all, Delta and Northwest got used to each other as members of the SkyTeam alliance for several years. Then they merged, and the merger has been pretty successful. Right now, Continental is preparing for courtship. It's busy replacing the old SkyTeam logos on its planes and even its napkins, which so far are still free. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
If you're walking down the butcher aisle of the supermarket today, keep your eyes open. You might find a good deal on beef. Americans have been cutting back on both steak and hamburger. That means cattle ranchers are getting less for their cows. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Ethan Lindsay wrangled this story on a ranch in Central Oregon.
Rebecca Borer and her husband Aaron run the Nine Peaks Ranch outside of the town of Terrebonne. They have about 400 bulls on a beautiful piece of land with stunning mountain views. These aren't your everyday cows. The Borers raise grass-fed black Angus bulls that can cost nearly $10,000 for a really good one.
These bulls hopefully are going to go sire some of that really tasty Angus beef that you hear so much about.
But the economic troubles of the ranching industry have hit them like everybody else. The couple really began to worry about it this time last year when they held their annual bull sale.
Nobody knew, well, what should we pay for bulls? Oh, we don't know if we're going to be in business next year. Prices were down, and I'm sure prices will still be down a little bit this year.
Aaron Borer says if cattle ranchers don't make enough money, they can't afford the gas and fertilizer and hay, all the things they need to stay in business. When it's especially desperate, ranchers even have to sell their breeding cows to the slaughterhouse for far less than they're worth. And when all that excess beef enters the market, it pushes prices even lower. And it's not just the beef cows. Low milk prices have led thousands of dairy cows to the slaughterhouse this year, too. Shannon Nybergs is an agricultural economist at Washington State University.
The livestock producers are getting hit both on the oversupply and weak consumer demand. And as an example of that, I went to the local grocery store and bought a beautiful prime rib roast for $3.60 a pound. And usually that would be $6, $7 a pound.
Nyberg says the low prices will be short-lived. He says when the economy recovers and consumers start to buy more beef, there won't be enough breeding cows to meet that demand. He says when people ask for advice, he half-jokingly tells them to pack their freezers with beef. In Terrebonne, Oregon, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
And finally, have you heard about the pop-up restaurant trend? This is where you cook a fancy meal in your house and you charge money for it. A British woman advertised a Harry Potter theme for Halloween, and Warner Brothers has put a stop to it. The company's lawyers wrote her a letter saying, "We're glad you're a fan, but you can't charge money for Harry Potter. We own the rights to that stuff." And the woman wrote back saying she's now changed the title of her evening to Generic Wizard Night. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.